Well, good morning again, and thank you, Dale, again for the invitation to come and share this morning. Wish the pulpit was a little bit wider at the base here so you can't see my knees knocking, but I'm sure I'll be okay. Again, thank you for your prayerful support, your financial contribution, and for even the Coles gift cards for the brekkie clubs. We do get most of the food from the food bank, which is ran by the Adventist Church in Gatton there, and they do a great ministry with soup kitchens and the like. And during COVID, they were giving away a lot of food hampers to those families who were struggling, who'd lost work and the income and the like. So that was it's a great ministry that they have there. I'm a chappie at Grantham, Santoul, and Mount Sylvia. Can't believe it's been 3 years already, and seems like just yesterday that I was sharing here on that Sunday night that I was just about to start my role as chappie after being at Bunnings for 19 years in the nursery up there. And that's certainly been handy, being in the field of horticulture, just getting the kids. I mean, they're already surrounded by veggies, but just to enhance that, that desire in their hearts to want to grow stuff and enjoy that. To get kids to eat veggies or salads these days is a bit of a battle. You often hear of stories of where parents are hiding zucchini and carrot and stuff in different, even cakes and things, and trying to get some vitamins, nutrition into them. But I just wanted to, wondering if anyone knew what the role statement of a chaplain, school chaplain, was. No one? Alrighty, so the official Scripture Union or Queensland Education role for a chaplain is to provide social, emotional and spiritual support to the students, parents and staff of the school communities in which chaplains work. So for me, it's basically serving God and serving the community in which he's called me. God's will continues to unfold daily as I trust him, and I am excited to see what he's going to do in the lives of the families in which I interact with and the staff. So it's certainly an exciting calling that God's placed on my life. I like the saying, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. What a relief that is, that we don't have to do it in our own strength or on our own. So now to today's reading from John chapter 4, starting at verse 43. Jesus departed after 2 days from his hometown, as he had no honour there, and headed for Galilee, where many had greeted him. For they had seen all that he'd done in Jerusalem at the feast. Were they keen to get to know this man more deeply, or just hoping to see more miracles and wonders? Jesus wasn't interested in letting them use him as a means to an end. In verse 46, we meet a desperate nobleman, a royal official, who travelled 20 miles through some mountainous terrain. He was desperate to speak with Jesus. His son was very ill, close to death. And this man, having heard of the miracle that Jesus had just performed days earlier, pleaded with him to come down and heal his son before he died. Now, even though this guy was a royal official, his family was not immune to hardship or sickness. He was just like the rest of us. In verse 48, Jesus says to the man, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The man was at rock bottom and did not want to lose his son. His position, power, and money could not help him now, and with nowhere else to turn, he humbly pleaded with Jesus in verse 49 to go with him to his home. Jesus said to the man, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. I think the man must have had a great wave of peace that came over him. Or he just... To take him at his word, or he simply had faith in Jesus and believed. To go on his way and not stay there, continuing to beg or plead with Jesus to go with him. How would we react in such a situation? Think about your child when they, this is a bit different, but when you know, when your child used to come up to you and beg you for a dollar to buy something, and they just won't let up, will they? They'll just keep nagging and pestering you for some money. Thankfully, we can trust Jesus and take him at his word. Have you lived through a scary situation that tested your faith? Did you want to take control because you didn't have enough faith in God? Or you just, yeah, wanted to be in control? Rewind the clock to winter 2010, when my youngest daughter, Emily, was almost two. It was a cold Sunday afternoon, and Emily had a nasty cough, which was getting worse, and she was struggling to breathe. Her breathing deteriorated quickly, so it was off to an emergency. We went. Fortunately, we only live 5 minutes from the hospital in Toowoomba, though we honestly didn't know at the time if we had 5 minutes. Safely secured in the car, we raced to the hospital with Emily's sisters. Her eyes began to roll back in her head and her lips started to turn blue as she began to fade into unconsciousness. I was desperately and loudly calling her name to keep her conscious as we approached the hospital, while my wife was pleading with God not to take her from us. Thankfully, there were no other emergencies and they were able to see her straight away. Emily was in the hands of the emergency doctors and ultimately in the hands of her Creator. Back to our passage where the nobleman shows great faith and heads for home. Verse 51, we read that in the distance he recognises his servants were coming towards him. I wonder what was going through his mind at the time. Was he concerned that they may have had bad news and that his son may have passed away? What would you have been thinking? When they reached each other, the servant said, "Your son lives." What relief that would have been to the nobleman. I reckon tears of joy would have been flowing down his dusty face. In verse 52, he then inquired as to the time when his son began to get better. The servants replied, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever had left him." So the dad knew it was at the same hour in which Jesus had said to him, "Your son lives." Jesus had been true to his word. The nobleman hadn't used the authority that he would usually use over other men on Jesus, but rather respected him and accepted his response. His faith at this point would have been even greater, receiving confirmation that his son was healed. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we read, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. We think that seeing is believing, when in reality, Jesus wants us to trust him." God is always working in his timing, and in this passage, he was working 20 miles away. Unfortunately, we can struggle with doubt, wondering if God will actually answer our prayers. Hopefully within our time frame. How would we handle such a situation? Do we take Jesus at his word? An old hymn goes like this: "Trust and obey, For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. As believers, we continue to grow spiritually day by day. God is teaching us to surrender everything and everyone into His hands. Our parents, spouses, kids, homes, farms, jobs, family, friends, and the list goes on. Recently, I discovered a verse from Psalm 24, which reads, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Everyone and everything belongs to the Lord." So that brought great comfort to me. Another old hymn goes, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Saviour. I surrender all." Certainly easier sung than done sometimes, hey? We often want to go and pick up wake up in the middle of the night and think about things and, just struggle to fully surrender them. The same God who created the universe created you and me. He has a plan and purpose and works all things together for good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Why do we struggle so much at times? Well, because we're only human and we like to be comfortable in life, and therefore we like to be in control. Now, God being the one who unfolds our story day by day will bring valley and mountaintop experiences. One long valley experience our family went through years ago was when my dad had a stroke whilst visiting my brother in Canada. Thankfully, it wasn't too serious and he was able to fly home. And the way that God just brought that about was just amazing. So he was prescribed warfarin, which is commonly known as Ratzak. And, you know what happens next is you get a brain bleed. So then off the warfarin, and then as a consequence, Dad had two more mini strokes, then a major stroke. Off to rehab for Dad, and then two different nursing homes where he wasted away to a shadow of his former self, as if he was in a concentration camp. As you can imagine, it was horrible to witness, especially when he would often plead with us just to take him home, but we knew we couldn't. God did heal my dad, just not in the way or when we had hoped. Dad was healed when he was absent from his body. And present with his Lord in glory. He was now in his heavenly home. In Isaiah 55:8-10, it reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Sometimes we will not understand things that happen in our lives straight away, but later, maybe months or years later. As we look back on our lives, many of us could testify to God's goodness and His faithfulness. We just need to keep moving forward in and with Jesus, trusting Him one step at a time. The impact that Jesus had on the nobleman was so great that he and his whole household believed not just that Jesus could perform miracles, but that he was their saviour. Imagine the impact that God had through the nobleman and his family afterwards. This was the second miracle Jesus performed, with many more to come. And yes, praise God, he still performs miracles today. Now back to the emergency department at the Toowoomba Hospital. Yes, Emily was in her Creator's hands. The doctors were trying to open her airway with adrenaline via an oxygen mask because it had almost closed due to her suffering from croup. She was taking a while to respond, and they tried putting a needle in her arm, but it just wouldn't go in. And then all of a sudden, she started to come around, started to breathe normally again. Thankfully, God still had a plan for Emily, and she's still with us today, my youngest baby, who's 13 and in year 8 at high school. During my first year of chaplaincy, I received the news of a young boy losing his life in a truck accident out at near Milmerran. A number of months later, I conducted a memorial service at school. This is the most difficult task I have had to do as a chappie, but one which God had presented great opportunity to offer hope to a family who are grieving, and also their friends. I shared this reading that a friend had actually posted on, dare I say, Facebook. Every minute someone leaves this world behind, we are all in the line without knowing it. We never know how many people are before us. We cannot move to the back of the line. We cannot step out of the line. We cannot avoid the line. So while we wait in line, make moments count. Make priorities. Make the time. Make your gifts known. Make a nobody feel like a somebody. Make someone smile. Make the change. Make up. Make peace. Make sure you tell your family they are loved. Make sure to have no regrets. Make sure you are ready. We don't know the day or hour that we will leave the line. But yes, we need to make sure we are ready and have a faith in God. For we were all created with a God-shaped hole in our hearts that only He can fill. Many try to fill it with things of this world, which will never truly satisfy. This morning, I'd like to finish by showing a film clip by the band Mercy Me. It's called Even If. The lead singer, Bart Millard, wrote it about the hope he had in God healing his son, his 15-year-old son, from diabetes. Many had prayed for his son, but at this stage, he still has diabetes. And I think back in the New Testament, Paul had a thorn in his side and God would not remove it. And we often have some ailment, and then I think sometimes if God removed that, would we still seek after God and we'll think we can just do life on our own, in our own strength? So part of the chorus says, I know you're able and I know you can. save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I hope you find comfort in this song.